Welcome back to the ICA Podcast. I'm Steve Prines, and I'm the Director of Education for Inspection Certification Associates, as well as the course author and instructor for our state-of-the-art home inspection training program. In a recent podcast, I mentioned that we might re-examine some liability issues. We have covered that previously in other podcasts, but I've recently received a few questions, so I thought we'd cover some of those topics today. Recently, at a local ASHI chapter meeting, ASHI being the American Society of Home Inspectors, a newer inspector approached me and told me that their contract has a limitation of liability clause in it, which limits their liability to the fee paid for the inspection, and therefore, they don't need to have E&O coverage, and they're going to save themselves a lot of money that way. So let's start off by talking about the legality of a limitation of liability clause. In some states, that does hold up. Now, I'm in Illinois, and as per Illinois state law, it is absolutely legal to have a limitation of liability clause in your contract, which limits your liability to the fee paid for the inspection. And that's been upheld in Illinois courts many times over the years. However, this clause is actually illegal in some other states, and even in Illinois, you can have that clause, but it doesn't stop a client from actually suing you. You and or your attorney can send all the letters you want to the client telling them that you only owe them $350, even though they're wanting to sue you for $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever it is, but it doesn't stop the client from taking you to court if that's what they choose to do. And if you go through a court proceeding, which, by the way, you never want to go to court, and I know of very, very few inspectors that have ever had this type of a situation where they went to court, but let's just follow this through legally. What if you did go to court with a limitation of liability clause in your contract that's legal in your state? Well, chances are you'd win, but you still have all your court costs. Court costs can cost $20,000, $30,000. Court costs are very expensive, and that is why you still need errors and omissions insurance. I do know of home inspectors have had some issues over the years where they were glad that they had E&O insurance. The good news is, too, back in the day when I started doing home inspections in the 1990s, a decent E&O insurance package, and E&O, of course, stands for errors and omissions insurance, and it covers you for things that you allegedly missed. So a decent E&O policy back in my day as an inspector, my heyday in the 1990s and early 2000s, that cost us about $3,000, $3,500, $4,000. The good news is you can get a very affordable E&O policy today. In fact, you can contact the ICA office and any of our very friendly associates can help you with that. Or you can look online. Just before starting this podcast, I did an internet search for home inspector E&O insurance, and I found a company selling it for less than $1,000 a year, and you can pay it monthly as well. So there's no reason not to carry E&O insurance, and you have to think of it this way. It's like a fire extinguisher. Obviously, you never want to have to use your fire extinguisher, but if a fire breaks out in your home, you're going to be glad you had it, especially if you can use it to put that fire out. Another question I had recently comes from Randy in Fort Lauderdale, and he asked me via email, have I ever heard of an agent suing a home inspector? Now, that's all he asked. I'm going to assume that he's thinking of a situation where a real estate agent sued a home inspector because they somehow felt that the home inspector killed their deal and they lost a commission. Well, no, I've never heard of that, ever. It's not to say that real estate agents might not become upset with home inspectors at some point because they blame the home inspector for issues that are found in the home. And of course, that's not the home inspector's fault. All you're doing is writing down what's already in the house. You didn't make the stuff up. You didn't cause it to happen. We're simply writing down what's there. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, in a previous podcast, I did talk about some home inspectors that like to take a home inspection to the nth degree, and they want to get into code inspections or overall building quality or construction quality, and that's fine if that's what they want to do. They are increasing their own liability, though, because anytime you go beyond the standards of practice, if you did have any type of a complaint from your client, one of the questions that could come up would be, well, gee, Mr. Inspector, you're telling me you met the standards of practice, but we can see that in this certain area you exceeded the standards of practice, so why didn't you exceed the standards of practice in this other area? I know I'm giving that to you kind of generically, but I think you can see what I'm talking about here. The standards of practice are in place to limit the scope of the inspection and to limit our liability as home inspectors. So when you start to exceed the standards of practice, legally you are increasing your own liability. Now, absolutely, most really good home inspectors, at least inspectors I would consider to be really good inspectors, yeah, they do exceed the standards of practice to some degree, but they do so for customer service, and they exceed the standards when it makes sense to do so. Now, I could spend a whole podcast talking about that, but I've talked about that in other podcasts as well. To sum up Randy's question from Fort Lauderdale, no, I've never heard of a real estate agent actually suing a home inspector. But that kind of leads us to Ted's question. He's from Fresno, California, and Ted asks, what if you break something during a home inspection? Well, that's pretty easy. You have to deal with it. I've had very few issues on my home inspections because I try to be very careful, and I'm sure most home inspectors are. But occasionally, things will happen. I remember one time I was in the basement of a home. There was an ironing board set up with an iron sitting on that ironing board in the upright position. I mean, it wasn't turned on or anything, but it was just sitting there. I walked by. I just barely clipped the ironing board, but it was enough to make the iron wobble, and it fell onto the floor and broke one of the little legs off. I picked it up off the floor. I picked up the little leg. The homeowner was home. She was upstairs. I brought it up to her, and I showed her what had happened. I apologized. Now, in that case, it worked out okay. The homeowner was very nice. They said, well, thanks for being honest. You know, we have a couple of irons. I'm not real worried about it. Fair enough. Another time, one of my employee inspectors tested an oven, but he forgot to check inside the oven first. Turns out the homeowner had a bunch of Tupperware, you know, plastic food storage containers in the oven, and of course, those melted. I don't think it made a real big mess, but the Tupperware itself was damaged. We talked to the homeowner about it. We ended up writing a check for $25 to cover the damage, and it was the end of it. So you can never really hide anything, or you should. It's going to get discovered. And as an ethical person, I don't think you're going to be comfortable with trying to hide something like that either. It's going to weigh on your conscience later. Now, if you break something expensive, well, I mean, that's going to be uncomfortable, but again, you have to deal with it. Ordinarily speaking, if you're careful in a home inspection, you will very seldom break anything. And I really don't know of any inspectors that have had any real serious issues with accidentally breaking anything. You know, I haven't broken anything that was very expensive. The bottom line, too, as a home inspector, you have a right to not inspect an area as long as you give a reason why you didn't inspect that area. So, as an example, windows are blocked by some kind of expensive decorations or like little statues or little expensive jewelry cases or whatever it might be. You can simply take a picture of it, put it in a report, and say these windows were not checked because of these personal items blocking the way. So in that regard, that helps protect you as well and keep you from possibly breaking anything. Now, it makes me think of, what if you see something illegal? No one's actually asked me this question, but I was just thinking about it myself because fairly recently, a good friend of mine in the inspection business, Tony Paluzzo, told me that he was doing a four-flat apartment building, and he and his partner went into one of the apartments, opened a door to the apartment, and, you know, they were told they had full access to the building, so there was a closed door in one of the apartments. They knocked on it. It was a bedroom door. No one answered, so they opened the door carefully because they wanted to check that bedroom. Inside the bedroom, they found two children, toddlers, covered with roaches. Unbelievable, covered with roaches. He told me he and his partner were both completely horrified by what they saw. They talked about what they should do, and they decided to report it to DCFS, which in Illinois, that's the Department of Children and Family Services. They made a call right there. They pulled out their phone, looked it up, made a call. somebody from DCFS showed up while they were still doing the inspection. Now, you might ask, you know, where were the parents? They don't know. There were no parents to be found, or simply these two kids in a bedroom covered with roaches. Now, if you were to see something else illegal, you might consider reporting it, maybe not. Some years ago, one of my employee inspectors gave me a call during the home inspection. As I recall, he was doing a three flat, and the attic was accessible from the closet of the third floor apartment. So when he went up to take a look in the attic, he saw that the third floor tenant had some grow lights up in that attic, and they were growing marijuana. And this is quite a few years ago, before any states had legalized marijuana, whether for medicinal use or recreational use. So it was very much illegal at the time. So he called me and said, you know, Steve, what should I do? Should we call the cops? Should I say anything about it? Now, in that particular case, I made the decision to just leave it alone. I said, you know what, Mike? You don't necessarily know it's marijuana, or perhaps you don't want to admit that you do. And regardless, it's not hurting anything. Yes, it's illegal, but it's not endangering anybody. It's not hurting anything. So in that particular situation, I told him, you know what, maybe if you want to verbally mention it to the client and let the client deal with it when they buy the building, but I don't think that's our place to do anything with that. And that's what he did. Client climbed up into the attic. They saw it. And as far as I know, they bought the building, and I don't know what they did with it after that. So the bottom line here is, if you see something illegal, it's really up to you if you want to decide to report it or not. And perhaps it depends on the gravity of the situation. It's really going to be your call. So that brings us to Juan from Crown Point, Indiana. And Juan emailed in and he said, have you ever not been paid for home inspection, or have you had a check bounce? And if so, what have you done? Now, Juan's not a home inspector yet. He actually asked me several things, and this is one of the things he was considering. He's simply trying to cover all his bases, and he's wondering if it's sometimes difficult to get paid. The short answer to that is, yes, I did have a check bounce 2 or 3 times in my inspection career. In one of those situations, I called the client. Client apologized, said he was getting divorced. He'd written a check out of the wrong checkbook, and if I wanted to swing by his office, he'd be glad to give me a check from the correct checkbook. His office was only about 10 or 15 minutes away from my office, so I drove over there. And he was nice enough to tack on another $15 just to cover my trouble. But another time, I can remember, we did actually have a check bounce. We contacted the client several times. They gave us the runaround. We found out from the real estate office that they had also bounced the earnest money check. So they were just complete deadbeats. I called my business attorney and asked him what I should do. And Jim told me that he had another attorney that specialized in bounce checks. And if I wanted to turn the matter over to this other attorney, wouldn't cost me anything at all, unless the attorney was able to collect. And if he did, he would keep a small percentage. Fine. So I sent the check over to this other attorney. Didn't think anything about it. Truthfully, forgot about the matter. 7 or 8 months later, I get a letter from that attorney. I couldn't even remember the guy's name, truthfully. We got this letter. I said, wow, here's a letter from an attorney. Wonder what this is about. So I opened it up. Then, of course, I remembered the situation. And I got a check for something like $187.27. It was about, as I recall, about 70% of the original check amount. Plus, he took his percentage. So there you go. It took a while, but I did get at least some money for that. And in general, and speaking with other inspectors, I've never heard of inspectors really having trouble with bounce checks or people not paying them. The other thing to consider, too, is that I know a lot of inspectors that accept credit cards. And a nice thing about accepting credit cards is that you don't have to fool around with checks and worry about them bouncing or anything, even though, as I say, I really had no problems with that. Remember that when you accept credit cards, you're going to lose 3 to 4% of your inspection fee to the credit card company. And that's okay as long as you simply set your inspection fee accordingly to cover that percentage. That brings us to Deborah's question. Deborah's from South Holland, Illinois. That's a suburb south of Chicago. And Deborah asked me, what's the strangest thing you've ever found in a home inspection? And I had to think that over a little bit. Certainly we found odd repairs or dead animals and attics and things like that. But I have to tell you, the strangest thing I've ever encountered on a home inspection is when my clients got into a big blowout argument during the home inspection. We'd already done the exterior of the home. I'd done the upstairs. We were down to the basement. Everything seemed to be going pretty well. All of a sudden, this couple gets into it. I wasn't really paying much attention at first. I was, at that point, getting ready to check the water heater. I was not far from being done with that home inspection. I probably had another 15 or 20 minutes worth of work left. But I did notice they were starting to get into a little bit of an argument. As I said, I wasn't really paying much attention. But all of a sudden, they started screaming at each other. I mean, it was like, I thought they were going to go to blows or something. They were yelling. They were screaming. They were talking about getting a divorce. They're going just on and on. It was really embarrassing to see this, to hear it. The entire family was home that lived in that house because at this point it was about 6:30 in the evening. You know, the family was upstairs, husband, wife, and kids. The agent was there. So these people are yelling at each other. Obviously, I stopped doing my inspection trying to figure out, you know, what should I do at this point. Fortunately, it was a real estate agent that I'd worked with pretty often, and she just kind of quietly indicated to me, you know what, they've done this before when I was showing them houses, they'll get through it, just get the inspection finished. Okay, so I finished it up, and just as the agent had said, by the time I got finished checking the furnace over, so this is about another 15, 20 minutes later, this couple had settled down, and they looked like the best of friends again, as if nothing had ever happened. So I went over everything on the report with them. They paid me. They left. They seemed happy. The real estate agent apologized to the current owners. She apologized to me, collected my stuff, and we left. I think that's the strangest thing I've ever encountered on a home inspection. Now, I always advocate following up with real estate agents if they're giving you referrals just to find out how everything's going. You give them a call a couple weeks after inspection and say, hey, you know, just want to see how everything's going and such a deal. And if there's any questions, please let me know. And it's really a marketing ploy just to stay in touch with the agent. And I have to admit, 3, 4, 5 times over my inspection career, I'd ask an agent, you know, how's that deal going? And the agent would say, well, it's not because that couple decided to get divorced instead of buying a house. I was surprised that I'd heard that, you know, 3, 4, 5 times over the years. But I guess sometimes people are having trouble in their life. They start incorrectly blaming it on their living arrangements. And I guess through the course of looking for a home, they realize that what they really need to do is split up. You know, everybody makes their own personal decisions. And for anybody that end up getting divorced instead of buying a house, I hope it worked out for them. You know, chances are that probably was the right thing to do. But that's what makes this business so interesting because every home inspection is different. I know you keep hearing me say this in these podcasts, but it's so true. That's what I love about the home inspection profession. Every inspection is different. Every set of clients is different. Everybody you deal with, they look at things in a different way. And it keeps this so interesting. It's virtually impossible to get bored doing home inspections. But that about concludes today's podcast. If you have any questions, please contact us at ICA, and one of our incredible associates will be glad to help you out, answer your questions, and get you all set up with the training you need if that's what you decide to do. And I sincerely do hope you decide to move forward in this industry because I really don't think you're going to be sorry. So thanks again for listening to this podcast, and we'll catch you on the next one.